20s. We've got some sunshine coming out tomorrow, a partly sunny day with highs in the lower 30s. Sunday night, a few more clouds hanging around and going down to 5 or 10 degrees above zero on Sunday night. We do have some cancellations here in our area. SUNY Sullivan is closed and orientation is canceled until tomorrow. You can check the SUNY Sullivan website for information about orientation. Also, we've gotten a note from the Pike County Public Library. Their Milford branch is closed, also their Dingman branch. And the Cooperage Farmers Market in Honesdale, Pennsylvania is canceled for today. Sounds like a good day to stay home and listen to the radio. WJFF 90.5 FM, Radio Catskill. Stay tuned, Now and Then is coming right up. Support comes from listeners and from the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York, riverreporteronline.com. I'm Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. Today's program features the inspired lyricism and the beautiful musicianship of the Irish band U2. That song is called Cedarwood Road, and it's from the most recent recording that U2 released in September of 2014. The album is called Songs of Innocence. Well, singer-songwriters, such a fascinating thing. A person that not only writes and has the ability to write great music, but to also perform it. Most of the singer-songwriters that I am familiar with and celebrate have solo careers. You know, Bob Dylan, James Taylor. You know, they've always been solo artists who have pulled either studio musicians or friends into their, you know, into their sphere of influence. And then they're a solo songwriter. And the thing that's amazing about U2 is that as talented as Bono is, who is the lead singer and writes most of the lyrics, U2 is a true band, such an unusual thing. They were formed in 1976 when they were 16 years old. And the four people who are the members of the band were the original members of the band. And even though there has been a little, you know, churn, pulling together, pulling apart, these are the members of U2. Bono is on vocals and plays the guitar. The lead guitarist is known as The Edge, and he plays that guitar with kind of a digital slidey effect on it. He also plays keyboards and sings. The bass player is named Adam Clayton, and the drummer is Larry Mullen Jr. This album is called The Songs of Innocence. And I've read a lot about this because there was a huge media frenzy when this album was released. It was included in iTunes. Apparently, the band struck a deal with Apple, and they had exclusive rights to distribute and play the music when it was very first introduced to the public. And they downloaded it for free into every single iTunes account holder, music library, with or without the permission of the individual. And so there was quite a lot of coverage about that issue. The whole thing is such a media circus to me. The thing that's fascinating is the creativity and the music. What drives the popularity of this band? Oh my God. Well, they're very sensitive for such major international stars. They seem very, very responsive to the feedback and the criticism and the reception that they get. The lead singer Bono had an interview with Gus Winter of Rolling Stone, and he said about this album, quote, "We wanted to make a very personal album. Let's try to figure out why we wanted to be in a band, the relationships around the band, our friendships, our lovers, our family. The whole album is first journeys. First journeys geographically, spiritually, sexually, and that's hard, but we went there." You know, the thing that is not mentioned in all the reviews and a lot of interpretations about, you know, where the band is musically is the fact that the title of the album, Songs of Innocence, refers back to a very famous work by a British poet, William Blake. He wrote two sets of poems called The Songs of Innocence and The Songs of Experience, and they were first published back in 1789. William Blake. And U2 has also talked about they'll be following up The Songs of Innocence, sure enough, with The Songs of Experience. So the album is very personally oriented. In fact, the song that we just heard called Cedarwood Road is about the road that Bono grew up on. And there's something, the more personal, from my perspective, The more personal you make something, the more universal it becomes. The more you reveal of your most authentic inner self, as hard as that might be for a writer or an artist or a singer, the more you think, oh, you know, no one will understand how I feel. No one else understands what I think. And if you have the courage to come out and actually express it, you find a connection that is so deep. And it's the authenticity of this band and their intentions that I believe drives their success. They recorded 50 songs when they were working on this album. The album that they released previously was in 2009. And so it's been almost 5 years in production. There was a lot of soul searching going on inside the band about where they were headed musically. They worked on 50 songs for this recording. And here's what Bono has to say about that. And he was talking about the songs, quote, "Some would come and go in favor, and some you could get them halfway up the hill, three quarters of the way up the hill. A lot of times we just couldn't get them up to the top of the hill." And that was the humbling element. And there's some humiliation in realizing that your talent is just not up to the task. The record was the record was released to the public on September 2nd in 2014, and it wasn't completed until 1 week prior to its release. And about that, I mean, you know, talk about the ink is still wet on the page. You know, a week prior to its release, here's what Bono said, quote, "Rumor has it we haven't made a U2 album in the last 5 years. We have. We've made several. We just didn't release them because we were waiting for something that would be as good as the best we've ever done." That's quite an objective. They turned to several different producers on this album. It's kind of interesting. So, I just wanted to tell you who the producers were on this album. There's a man named Danger Mouse. Paul Epworth, who is the man that worked with Paul McCartney on his new album, for instance. Ryan Tedder and Declan Gaffney, and also Flood. Now, a lot of their albums from the 80s and 90s were produced by Brian Eno and Daniel Lanois. So it's interesting that they've turned to more contemporary producers on these albums. And so I thought it would be really interesting, at least for me and I hope for you, to understand what does a producer do? How does a producer influence the sound of a song? Well, one of the most... one of the easiest ways to understand what's happening is to listen to a song without any production. Listen to the very first version of a song, the acoustic version of the song. It's just going to be, you know, maybe piano and voice, or maybe just guitar and voice. And then you listen to the fully produced song, the very same song. So we're going to do that with a track. It's the first track on the Songs of Innocence. It's called "The Miracle of Joey Ramone." And it talks back, it talks about the influence that the Ramones had on the members of U2 when they were so young. So we're going to listen to an actual acoustic demo version of this song, which is released on the deluxe edition of Songs of Experience. And then we're going to listen to the fully produced track of "The Miracle," which was lists three producers: Danger Mouse, Paul Epworth, and Ryan Tedder. So from U2's Songs of Innocence, this is "The Miracle."
I was chasing down the days of fear, chasing down a dream before it disappeared. I was aching to be somewhere near your voice, was all I had. Shaking from a storm in me, hold to back.
sectors that we had to see. Yeah, I wanted to be the melody above the noise, above the hurt. I was young, not dumb, just wishing to be blinded by you, brand new. And we were pilgrims on our way. I woke up at the moment when the miracle occurred. Heard a sound that made some sense out of the world. Everything I ever lost now has been returned in the most beautiful sound I ever heard. Language so we can communicate, religion so I can love and hate, music so I can exaggerate my pain. Give it a name, I was young, not done, just wishing to be blinded by you, brand new, and we were pilgrims on our way.
I woke up at the moment when the mirror.
I can exaggerate my pain. Give it a name, I was young, not dumb, just wishing to be blinded by you, brand new. We were pilgrims on our way. I woke up
of Joey Ramone. Apparently, when they were teenagers and they formed a band when they were 16 years old, they snuck into a Ramones concert. And when Bono saw Joey Ramone sing, it gave him the courage to do his own version of singing. We just heard two versions of that song. We heard the acoustic demo. And, you know, I was talking about how long it took them to record and finish this album. They started recording the Songs of Innocence in 2009. They're very responsive to the different producers that they work with. And there was something that one of their producers, Rick Rubin, who had worked with them back in 2006, and he said to them, and it takes a lot of courage to speak truth to power, right? He said, you use a lot of sounds and arrangements, quote, to disguise the fact that you don't have a song. And he really stressed to them the importance of just the song, just the naked song, when it's stripped down, has to be really strong and stand up. Well, apparently they really took that to heart, because the music on the Songs of Innocence has been worked and brought to a full realization of its potential. It's truly remarkable. There's a lot of things that happened in these 5 years that it took them to record this album. And one of the things is that they're one of their biggest influences culturally is what a successful touring band they are. And they went on a world tour. It took them 2 years. From 2009 through 2011, they did this tour called the 360 Tour. All right? And so here's the deal. They had the Rolling Stones, all these concerts, these big arena tours. U2 had the largest concert stage ever constructed. And the idea was that they wanted to have the audience have a 360-degree exposure to the band. So the stage was called the Claw, and the audience sat in a circle around the band and could see the band from all sides. That goes back to a theater in the round concept. They went through North America. They were in Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. They went to South Africa. They went to South America. And by the end of the tour, it had been the largest grossing concert tour ever, $736 million in ticket sales. 7.2 million tickets sold. They outdid the Rolling Stones. Oh my gosh. So they're incredibly popular. We got that part. Another thing that was happening while this album was being written and produced, the lead singer and the guitarist, Bono and the Edge, they made a commitment to write the music for a Broadway musical, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. And so those two separated from the band and wrote that music, and it made its debut in June of 2011. Well, they're just working away. And there's one other thing that interrupted the recording of the Songs of Innocence. And this is happening in mid-2013. Harvey Weinstein, who produced the movie Mandela, A Long Walk to Freedom, asked U2 if they would write a song in honor of Nelson Mandela. So they paused in the work for Songs of Innocence, and they wrote a song which was called Ordinary Love to honor Nelson Mandela. And it just won the 2014 Golden Globe Award for the Best Original Song. It was nominated for the Academy Award for the Best Original Song. And they wrote the song, and then when Mandela died, they had a lot of other promotional commitments and award ceremonies. And so that was something that interrupted the recording of Songs of Innocence. We're going to listen to that track, Ordinary Love. And it really touches into the philanthropy that has been so important to this band. Bono was raised an Irish Catholic in Dublin. And a lot of his Christian values show up in his lyrics and in the way that he lives his life. He has done a lot to champion, for instance, third world debt relief in Africa and a lot of the other third world countries. So I think it's really appropriate that they were so recognized for this beautiful song. This is called Ordinary Love. It's from the soundtrack of Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom.
Sky.
You Too, Ordinary Love. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. So, Bono, what a thing. So many rock and roll musicians, they change their names. They come and they have nicknames that have been given to them. I mean, you know, Sting. Sting apparently showed up to some early jazz gigs with a black and yellow striped shirt on that looked like a bumblebee. And someone else called him that. Well, Bono was also named by a friend of his. He didn't make up that name. His friend Gavin Friday. So, you know, I talked about their teenagers. 16 years old. All four of these guys. They're all attending this school called the Mount Temple Comprehensive School. They had a street gang. And they gave each other, you know, nicknames. And certainly Bono had his nicknames. Bono was born in 1960, and his birth name is Paul David Ewson. But they started to call him a couple of different names, Bon Murray, Bono Vox of O'Connell Street, and then finally just Bono. Well, Bono Vox is a Latin phrase, Bonovox, which means good voice. Now, I wonder where they came up with that. He didn't like the name at first until they told him what it meant. And so that's what he's called now, not just his stage name, but his family and his friends and the other guys in the band. They all call him Bono. And so it's his voice, isn't it? Not only does he have the ability to write such poetry, it's poetry. His lyrics, they're so beautiful. They remind me of the poetry of William Blake, the songs of innocence, the songs of experience. And it's his ability to deliver the words with such expressive, such a commitment to his voice. There's so many singers that rely on a microphone. And there's something about the way this man sings that is so physically connected to the center of his body, to the center of his being, that his voice is so expressive. He doesn't filter it. It seems like it comes directly from his heart. It's like a guitar player, like Hendrix. It just flows out of his hands. There's something very satisfying and sensual about Bono's voice. He's a tenor. And in the song that we just heard, that's a very high note for a man. That's called the falsetto. And he has incorporated a certain kind of strength in his falsetto voice that allows him an incredible range, melodically, an amazing range. And there's also, there's something about a singer and a songwriter. When you hear someone sing their own compositions, it's one thing. But when you hear a singer cover someone else's song, it gives you a different kind of insight into who they are vocally. So there's two tracks that I want to play right now that really have to do with the vocal aspects of U2 and Bono's voice. Back in 1995, they were collaborating with the producer Brian Eno. And Brian Eno became so entwined with this band that he actually started to get compositional credits as one of the songwriters. And they were working on a body of music, and he became so influential and had such a change that the members of the band U2 decided that they could not release the music under the name U2, that it was such a completely different sound, even though it was the same guys in the band, that they released it under a different name. They called it Passengers. So there's all these recordings. It's totally a U2 recording with Brian Eno involved, and there's one song that he did a duet with Luciano Pavarotti. The song is called Miss Sarajevo, and Bono has said that it's his very favorite U2 song. So it's fascinating for me to hear, and I hope for you as well, to hear Luciano Pavarotti is one of the most famous opera singers of the 20th century. The man has an innate Italian operatic sound. And what's fascinating on this recording is that Pavarotti sings this song the way that he sings Puccini. He has such an amazing sound. I've never heard an operatic singer in a rock and roll song be so successful. And then to hear Bono's voice and Luciano Pavarotti's voice in the same track, that gives me my ear and my heart a lot of information. So we're going to listen to that track from 1995. Then there's another song that Bono sings the lead on, and there was a movie in 2007 called Across the Universe, which really was a narrative built around all the Beatles songs. Every song in the soundtrack is one of the Beatles compositions, but it's the soundtrack for a movie. And John Lennon and Paul McCartney, the song I Am the Walrus, Bono does the lead vocals on that from the Across the Universe soundtrack. So we're going to hear both of these songs in a row. We'll start with Miss Sarajevo. This is Passengers.
Yeah. red ribbons, a time for Christmas trees. Is there a time for red tables? And the night is set to freeze.
From the soundtrack from the movie Across the Universe, released in 2007, and that's Bono singing lead. And right before that, from 1995, from they renamed themselves Passengers, and that's U2. The song is called Miss Sarajevo, and that features Bono and Luciano Pavarotti. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then. So, U2, what an incredible sound. You know, everyone in this band, they come from Ireland, from Dublin. And when they started out, they were so inspired by punk rock. And one of the signatures of punk rock was that you didn't have to be a virtuoso on your instrument. And I suppose this gave them the freedom to grow. And they formed in 1976. And by the mid-80s, they were a gigantic international success. And a big part of their success initially was their live performances and their tours. When they released their fifth album in March of 1987, the album is called The Joshua Tree. They reached a new level. And I didn't realize it at the time, but now that I've studied about it a little bit, they were really, the whole album is about America. And as they became so famous, they developed friendships, and it was basically, they got to know Bob Dylan, Van Morrison, and Keith Richards. And this motivated them to explore blues, folk, gospel music. And the Joshua Tree expresses their outrage at some of the U.S. foreign policy, but also their fascination with America, the freedom, the ideas of America. When the Joshua Tree was released, it was the fastest selling album in British history at the time. It topped the Billboard 200 for 9 weeks. And it really is the beginning of a certain style of songwriting. So I thought it would be great to listen to probably the most popular and famous song from my perspective that U2 has ever recorded. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And that also seems to speak back to the core of their continued search for artistic expression, how they can stay relevant, how they can reinvent themselves and re-energize their commitment to music. So from 1987's Joshua Tree, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And then we'll hear one more track from their most recent Songs of Innocence. The song is called Every Breaking Wave, and it's about the difficulty of giving yourself completely to another person. You too.
I have gone.
Kathy Geary, you've been listening to Now and Then. Today's program featured the most recent recording by U2, The Songs of Innocence. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you so much for listening. Support comes from the community and from the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York, riverreporteronline.com. It's a couple of seconds before 4 p.m. I'm showing 31 degrees here at our studios, and this is 90.5 FM WJFF Jeffersonville, New York, and W233AH Monticello, New York. We're hydro-powered. Yes, we're hydro-powered. We're streaming online 24/7. You can listen to us if you've got an internet connection. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be a part of the WJFF community. WJFFradio.org. We've got a forecast for a few clouds this evening. It's going down to the lower 20s. Tomorrow's a partly sunny day with highs in the lower 30s. It's going to get really cold tomorrow night,